this is what we call a God Story Sunday, and it is one of my favorites because we all have different ways that God works in our lives, different stories to tell of our faith and how God has changed our lives. And sometimes I think it's helpful. You start to see God better in your life when you hear somebody else talk about how God has worked in their life. And so we asked Miss Harriet. Harriet is Sarah Brown's mom, and she's joined us from time to time along the way, and we've always enjoyed having her with us. And so we asked her to share today because you have been inspiring to us, and we are so happy to have you with us. So I will let you take it.
This magic chair.
Yes, she has a magic chair.
So it goes up. It's quite something.
How's that?
Yes, that's
that
fine.
Works?
Sure,
okay.
Right. This is a beautiful group. It really is a beautiful group. I'm impressed. Yeah. Well, I was born in California, but we came to Tennessee soon thereafter. My father always wanted to travel. I mean, my older brother was born in Chile. And then my younger brother was born in Knoxville, because I grew up in Knoxville. We joined my folks joined a church that they called the Christian Church. It's nowadays, lots of times, Disciples of Christ. And it was a very good church in many ways. I loved it, the beautiful church that we had. I had the sweetest Sunday school teachers you ever saw, and we had a very nice pastor. So all of those things were really good. And I decided when I was 9 that I wanted to be baptized. Now, one of the reasons for that was that we had communion every Sunday, and they passed that grape juice around right in front of my nose. And I said, what do you have to do to get that? And my mother said, well, you have to join the church and be baptized. And so that's what I wanted to do. And my older brother had been baptized not too long before that. So that was good, and I was pretty serious about it. The main thing was that when I got home that evening, I told the Lord that whatever he wanted me to do, that I would do it. I didn't know really what a commitment that was. You, be careful what you tell the Lord. And I will say that I was not born with crippled. I was born perfectly normal. I had polio when I was 6. Now, a lot of you older folks know what that is, but I had polio in 1940 before the big epidemics came. They put my picture in the paper because I was only the second diagnosed case in the state of Tennessee that year. And the doctors that I had didn't know what to do and put me in a cast for 6 months. Now, you know, if you're in a cast for 6 months, you will be paralyzed, whether anything was ever wrong with you or not. But when I got up and I walked with crutches and a brace, usually, it's a handicap, but it also has got me a lot of special attention and opportunities and stuff in a way. People, I don't know. But it is a handicap, but, you know, you with evil comes good a lot of times. So anyway, the next thing that happened in my life was, you know, in my day, we had Bible in school. We memorized Bible verses in school, and we had, so there was a group of folks who came to my mother's school who were on a special program, and if you memorized so many verses, you would get prizes, a motto to hang on the wall, and then a New Testament, and eventually a Bible, and then 300 verses would get you to go to camp. And so Mother encouraged me and my brother. I had to memorize 10 verses at a time. My little brother only had to memorize 4 verses at a time because he was only in second grade. We went to camp, and I enjoyed the camp, but it was run by a bunch of fundamentalists, which I didn't really know or care about the difference. But the main, and we had amazing preachers who came, they were great for kids. And we did a lot of good, I love the missionaries and all the stuff we did. But they preached that Jesus died for us to save us from our sins. I learned about the atoning work of Jesus, really for the first time. I went to a good church, but they'd never preached really about the death of Jesus and what it meant and how important it was, that it was salvation through him. And so I really learned that sort of for the first time there. I'll go to a church and I'll enjoy it and I'll like a lot of this stuff, but I keep listening for that to see if the preacher is ever going to talk about that to the people. And I wish they would. I really wish they would, to know that we are sinners. We are sinners. We need salvation. And everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it means not just that he came to earth, but that he died for us. Now, praise God, we worship a risen Savior. But we need to know about real salvation. So anyway, that was very important in my life. I went on to college, and I was always pretty good in school, so I liked college. I liked it very well, and I did well, but I joined a sorority. More about that later, but anyway, I joined a sorority, and I had a wonderful big sister, and she said, they're doing a Bible study down on this floor at lunchtime. You want to go? And so I went, and that was good. That was very interesting. Because the Bible study, we read a passage and we talk about it and try to figure out what it meant, what it said to us, and that was very good. Then I went to a weekend retreat with that group, and it was InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which I don't know if any of you all have run into it. Some have. But anyway, and then I went to their summer month-long campus in the woods in Canada, which was lovely. It really was amazing. The bunch of us that came from Knoxville walked in a little bit late, and we heard all those young people, a majority guys, singing like they meant it. And man, that was just, it just blew me away to hear that singing. I didn't really, I learned how to drink hot tea with milk in it. Now, I was a Southerner. I didn't, what is that, milk? You're going to put milk in this tea? But anyway, different preachers. I didn't really agree with everybody. But there was one old man. He'd been a missionary in Solomon Islands or somewhere. And he had an amazing story to tell. The verses we read this morning that we read says you know the part that says let's see what did I tell you what was read 11 Luke 11 9 yeah okay right you know that Jesus said I ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. That's everybody has heard that. But you'll notice at the end of it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Now, that's the only place, I think, that it says that. We see, you'll get what you ask for. But here it says, you'll get the Holy Spirit when you ask. So this guy, he said when he was young, he had asked the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And nothing happened. And he went along a day or two, and he thought, you know, when I ask my grandmother for something, for a cookie or something, she says she's going to give it to me. But sometimes she forgets. And so I go and thank her for it. And then she gives it to me. So I started thanking God for the Holy Spirit. And he was helping with some roofing. He was on this roof. And all of a sudden, he almost fell off the roof because the Holy Spirit had come to him. And it was amazing. It changed his life. So I never had heard any preaching about the Holy Spirit. In my life, I never heard any at all. You just, you know, it's in here, but then you come across it, you think, well, that's good. But anyway, that night, when I was praying to go to sleep, I said, Lord, if there's anything to that I need, let me know. And so the next morning, we had to spend a half an hour in quiet time. And I happily was sitting on a rock overlooking that lake. And the Lord made me know that there was something to it, and he was so real, and he just amazed me. I mean, have you heard a verse that says, "And the trees of the field will clap their hands"? Well, they will. And I was so amazed at the difference, at the excitement, and it just thrilled my soul. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. And he never goes away. He never goes away. I was so glad we sang that hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. So it's both of those things. It is salvation in Jesus Christ. And then I want to challenge you all to read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts yourself on your own and see what formed the church. From the beginning, how the people, how the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles, and from there the church was born, and again, as for example, when Peter was preaching to Cornelius, the Gentile, the Holy Spirit came, and then they knew that Gentiles could be Christians, could know the Lord. And they said, "What does anything forbid these people from being baptized?" And nothing did, so they baptized all those people. God will work in your life and do amazing things for you and through you. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It was wonderful. Oh, I was going to say, I belong to a sorority, and a lot of the folks that were at this camp really thought that a real Christian couldn't be in sororities and fraternities. So when I went home, I had to decide whether I was going to stay in the sorority or not. And what I had to do was tell the Lord that I would quit. I had to, in my heart, I had to give it up and figure out, I'm going to call so-and-so and tell them that I'm not going to be in the sorority. And once I decided that I could do that, that I would give that up, then the Lord said, "No, you need to be in the sorority." And I had a wonderful fall. I found out that I loved Rush. I loved meeting all those young people, that I loved the contacts that I made, and God blessed it to me. But I think if I had not given it to him, that I wouldn't have had that experience. Some of you know that when I finished college, I had a chance. We knew missionaries. My father knew these missionaries who had a school, running a school for young people down in the country in Cuba, way over in eastern Cuba. And the Spanish that I learned out there was hillbilly Spanish, because it was very, very country there. But I got to go to Cuba, and I learned Spanish. I had this total different culture that I became acquainted with, and it was a wonderful experience. I will say that one of the things I guess we all have to learn how to do is ask for forgiveness. I was working for a very fine missionary who was really working hard to bring people to the Lord in all over the countryside. But her Spanish was pretty bad. And the other Cuban young people and I, we would make fun of her. And we didn't show the appreciation that we should have for what she was doing. We used to laugh about her. She brought her nephew down to see the work that she was doing. And he turned against her because of the way we acted. So the missionary that had asked me to come down, he talked to me and he said, "Miss Cook doesn't really want you to stay. You've messed things up and you can't stay." And so I went back and I really asked her forgiveness and changed my way. And that's another thing we have to learn how to do, is to know that going along with the crowd, which is what I was doing, is not God's way. And as I say, I had to learn how to ask for forgiveness, and did. And then she let me stay the second year, and it was a good year. And, you know, there are things like that that go along in your life. But if the Holy Spirit is in you and in your spirit, you will do it because you want to follow him. You only want to follow him. if I can sing this, I'll sing you a little chorus that I learned at Children's Bible Mission Camp. It goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back, though none should join me, still I will follow. Though none should join me, still I will follow. Though none should join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before.